This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Gas up the duck boats.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This run that it's about to happen, I hope you're ready. Tatum and Brown, they climb the mountaintop.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
5-6 rings, get ready, okay? Hope you guys got yours, because it's going to be a long time before anybody else gets one.
Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Panthers wide receiver, Adam Thielen. Coming up, Packers linebacker, Rashawn Gary, actor Judge Reinhold. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. First hour, we remembered Willie Mays to kick off our program. We talked about Connor McDavid extending the Stanley Cup final with the rest of his Oilers teammates to a game six after losing the first three games of this series. That next game is going to be on Friday. We also talked to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, Adam Thielen of the Carolina Panthers, and in honor of Judge Reinhold, the actor sitting in our green room right now and about to come out to talk about the new Beverly Hills Cop Axel F., which is going to be streaming on Netflix exclusively starting next in a couple Wednesdays, July 3rd, which you can see right here on Roku. I gave you my power rankings of my top 80s movie comedies of all time, and you guys actually didn't mind the list.
No. It wasn't bad, man.
All right.
I mean, so many good movies.
I know.
Yeah, a lot to choose from.
It ain't easy. You know what? That's why the name of the show has two eyes in it, and Rich and Eisen. It's about me and what I can do for you. I don't know what the hell that means.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
If you missed any of it, we re-air on the Roku channel as soon as we're done, channel 210, all 3 hours. And there's our YouTube channel. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. There's our podcast version of our show as well. And that's through the Cumulus Podcast Network, where you can get all your podcasts. And so Judge Reinhold is about to come out here. We got a dynamite celebrity true or false about not just Beverly Hills Cop, but Stripes and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. His Emmy-nominated role as the close talker in Seinfeld. There's a lot to talk about with Judge Reinhold, and we're going to have an epic celebrity true or false. It's epic.
Epic.
To the point where you'll call up and tell us how epic it is. That's... I got you on that one, huh, Chris? I got you. You didn't see that one coming.
Thank you, Rich. You got me.
Okay. So, let's go now to one of our favorites, not just because he's terrific at what he does, but he's also a great human, and he's also a Michigan Wolverine. He's Rashawn Gary of the Green Bay Packers, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Rashawn?
I'm doing good, and happy to be back. How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing fine. Where have I found you? Where are you right now?
I'm in Dallas, Texas, training.
Okay. Middle of June, training right now to go dominate right now.
That's all. That's all it is to say, dominate.
Okay. So what's part of the domination drill for today, Rashawn? What'd you do today before zooming in to chat?
Before today, I had a 7 a.m. workout, got back from that, because right now I'm in 2-a-day, so you know I'm attacking it hard. So I got my speed, strength, then I got my position work. So just getting back home a couple hours ago, and now I'm relaxing. I got some film to watch, you know, still trying to break down, you know, the mini camp day we had in OTAs, just trying to find ways to get better.
Lunch? Getting lunch, Rashawn? We got a little lunch. What do we got?
Not yet. But, you know, I'm thinking about something.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to figure out, like, because, again, it's like middle of June here. You could, you know, think about taking a day off, right? I mean, like, that's the general sense people might have. But that's not how you become great September through February, is it, Rashawn Gary? That's not how you do it.
Yeah, not at all, especially being a Green Bay Packer and especially to help my team get us to where we want to be, and that's to, you know, hold that Lombardi Trophy.
So in a quiet time, do you envision that sort of stuff? Is it truly a 24/7, 365 thought process for you, Rashawn?
Monday to Friday, if I do unplug, you know, I might get myself a Saturday and Sunday, but around this time of the year, it's really hard to lay off of it because, you know, it's every day separates you from, you know, your opponent. And because I know some guys out there today taking some breaks, I'm not one of them. So, you know, that's always going to, you know, keep me ahead and keep me sharp.
What was it like being around the guys a couple weeks ago? What was that like, Rashawn?
Oh, man, great. I love the energy. I love the swagger that, you know, we all have, you know, from top to bottom. You know, it's a great feeling. Understanding, you know, who we are a little bit more coming into the season, and what that we expect for each other is great, man. And just the work that we put in through OTAs and through the mini camp is great. And, you know, the message that we have for each other, just come back 1% better than what we left in, we'd be fine.
What part of Texas are you in right
now? I'm in Plano, Texas.
Okay. Are there a lot of Cowboy fans around there in Plano, Texas?
Yeah, I might be in the heart of it.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. What's it like being a Green Bay Packer walking around the heart of Cowboy Country? What's that like?
I can't complain. Quiet. Everybody say it's quiet this season. You know.
Well, who quieted them? Who quieted them, Rashawn? Who were the ones who quieted them?
I don't know. You tell me, Rich.
The Green Bay Packers, you know.
That's old stuff. Though.
That's not old stuff. Because if you think about it, the way that the Cowboys have reacted to you quieting their season.
You must be a
season,
Cowboy fan.
Oh, that
he
is,
must be a Cowboy.
Yeah, TJ, do you want to introduce yourself to Rashawn Gary?
You know, Rashawn, we met, you know, he came in studio, what, right 5 years ago,
sure.
Right after your last season in Michigan. So we met when you were here. It's great to see you doing well, brother. You're killing it right now.
No. Come on. Tell him. Don't talk to him like the way you want to talk to him.
Oh, I ain't talking to Rashawn Gary like that.
Okay.
You know, after he says, look at this man.
You made him very upset. Rashawn, you and your teammates made, I'll talk. On.
No, you can't say it because Rashawn, even though I am a Cowboys fan.
You made him very upset.
And Chris Broadman will tell you, I did predict that the Packers would beat us in the playoffs. I called that for the whole week, and Rich couldn't believe that I came out and said it. But I just felt like you guys had our number, and you did your thing on that day. So
appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I'm not happy about it. Don't get it twisted. I'm very upset.
Nice. He's too nice for Sean. You pissed him off. Be very honest with you. You pissed him off and Cowboy Nation off, and the way that they've reacted to it, saying that they're going all in. That's one of the stories of the offseason for me is the way the Cowboys reacted to your victory. What was that like for you guys to go into Dallas and do what you did, and how are you still building off of that right now?
You know, it was great, and you know, everybody talked about the Dallas game, but the turn of the season, I want to say for us was, you know, from Thanksgiving all the way, you know, up until that point. And, you know, that was just us, you know, taking it Monday to Sunday, you know, buying in, believing in each other, and also holding each other to a standard. So, you know, it was good, you know, to have that win, you know, for the fans and things, but we ain't think nothing less. You know, we were still thinking, you know, going to the Super Bowl. We all understood how our last game ended. But, you know, we right around the corner, man. Just a couple of plays a week.
Yeah, I mean, that Thanksgiving game, who had 3 sacks in that Thanksgiving game, Rashawn Gary? Who did?
I guess you're talking to him.
Oh, that's right. It was Rashawn Gary. And oh my God, this is so fun. What happened 2 days later in Ann Arbor, Michigan, after that victory by you in Michigan? Yeah. What happened 2 days later, Rashawn? Can you refresh my memory what happened in Ann Arbor, Michigan 2 days later after that game?
2 days later.
Yeah, think about it. What happened?
You played a great game.
That's right. You could remind your center, Josh Myers, who went to the Ohio State University, about what happened.
Game.
Right. Do you talk to him about that game, that day, about what happened after all that, Rashawn? Do you do that?
No, I let them be, because, you know, feel good for the year, but, you know, we got to stack up. So, yeah, we feeling good this year, but, you know, we got to stack up and we still got things to prove. So for the young guys out there listening, we still got work to do.
Okay. I love it. That's Rashawn Gary right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'll thump the chest. You be you. Don't you worry about it. I'll be me. I'll take care of all that stuff. So how has Jordan Love shown up this season that's different than the previous one, Rashawn?
Man, it's crazy because last year he took control, you know, from day one of offseason OTAs. And, you know, he started off right off the same foot, the same way, bringing it up, breaking it down and, you know, talking about the standard and what it needs to be. And I just love it, man. He's laid back and, you know, he's a guy you could talk to, man. I'm talking about from special team, defense to offense, man. All guys, you know, believe in him and you can have a conversation with him. I'm talking about anytime at lunch table, you know, you have any question, you can sit down and talk to him, man. Talk about guy and those type of guys that may go to war and play for.
Can you give me an example of what you do talk with him about, if you don't mind me prying, Rashawn?
Yeah, you know, with me and Jory, you know, we have a different relationship, man. I just talk about being great with him because I understand, you know, how it was coming in year one, you know, to where it is now. And, you know, he probably ain't scared to say it, but people haven't seen nothing yet. You know, the things that he's been doing in camp that y'all can't see, the practice tape that, you know, y'all can't see the throws that he's doing and how he's putting on the money. Man, it's ridiculous right now. And, you know, I just can't wait to the season so he can display it. But he's in store for a hell of a season for us.
So he's eating, you're eating, you come up with your tray. I don't know. I'm painting it like it's high school. But and then you sit down and then you what? You just say, you know, what are you doing to be great today?
We sit down, like, you got a word of the day, Jordan? Like, what's the word of the day? We getting better today, Rob. I'm like, all right, cool. And then I go out throughout the day. I'm like, Jordan, we getting better today. We bringing somebody along with each other. We making sure we hold each other accountable because at the end of the day, the guys look up to us, you know, us being one of the, you know, top players on our team, you know, it is what it is. So we have to make sure we carry ourselves and that standard, and that's one thing me and Jordan do is hold ourselves to that.
So then
accountability.
I love that. What lights your fire then? Seriously, what lights it up for you?
In terms of what?
Just in terms of, you know, winning it all. Like what gets you, man, going?
Just everything. You know how it is. You know, coming from, you know, Michigan, that rich tradition. You know, understand how it is to win and win at a high level. And, you know, me, you know, God blessing me, being able to be drafted to Green Bay, me coming into the same thing. And, you know, the more and more, you know, I learned and, you know, about Green Bay and the history and just the year that I've done played, you know, I'm going on year six this year. And, you know, every time I played, we went to the playoffs or, you know, we was two games short, you know, one game short, you know, one year. So, you know, it's a lot of motivation that just gets me hungry because I understand, you know, in this league that we have, it's an opportunity of time and we're in the window that we can maximize. And I'm just trying to make sure everybody is ready to, you know, reap the benefits of it all.
I got a couple minutes left here with Rashawn Gary. How are you getting ready for Brazil, Rashawn?
Man, what I'm doing right now, working, training, so we can start the season off right.
Okay. And have they already walked you through, like, what it's going to be like? Any conversations about, man, that?
I have no idea, but I'm excited. You know, it's going to be the first football game in Brazil, so God put on the show.
Right. And then, you know, obviously the Eagles have a lot going for them, and mm-hmm. you can make your presence felt right off the bat on a Friday night of football season. Looking down the schedule, you've got the Minnesota Vikings is your first division opponent. You face the Lions at home.
That's a home game.
That is a home game. That's right. Then you see the Lions at home, right to kick off November. And then you got a bye. And then you've got the Chicago Bears after all that. And I'm going to take my crack at this question here, kind of mixing sports a little bit up, Rashawn, because there's a conversation I'm sure that you hear about in the WNBA and Caitlin Clark being a rookie and how there's a lot of welcome to the WNBA moments that she's been delivered by some veterans. What's your mindset going to be with Caleb Williams on the other side of the line of scrimmage, Rashawn?
Yeah, no, in that time in the season, what you said, that's 12 games in, so yeah. We'll have some good tape. you know, on him, understanding of, you know, how the Bears want to run the offense through him, or, you know, they're going to be pass heavy by that time, run heavy by this time. So we're going to understand and have a better feel than, you know, where we would, you know, week one in terms of, you know, getting more trick plays, things like that. But, you know, from what I could see from a college man, great arm, great vision. And, you know, right now we just got to be able to contain them and still play our ball.
I guess I was going to say, are you going to be the one to deliver? You point out it's going to be later in the season to deliver his welcome to the NFL moment. Like, is that something you would relish?
I hope so. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I appreciate that answer. And then in terms of one last one for you, narratives, that's what I'm in that business. You know, and the Lions almost made the Super Bowl, and you took them out in Thanksgiving. You almost got another shot at them, but you hear how the Bears are better, and you hear how the Lions almost made the Super Bowl. And, you know, Aaron Jones is now on Minnesota, and they have a lot of hope. What do you say to people that think this division is wide open and it's not just you who can win it, Rashawn?
For the people that feel like the division is wide open, you know, we're going to see in a couple of months when we got to strap up and play. And, you know, like I said, the pad's going to do the talking then. I don't like really talking about that. The work going to do all the speaking when it's time.
And do you guys openly talk Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, that's a mindset. I told you, right? I want to hold up the Lombardi Trophy. It's out there in the air. You know, there's real positive energy. So, yeah, that's something that we believe in to build it from top down, and we've been working for it.
Well, Rashawn, thanks for helping us be great today. I appreciate your time, as you know, always catching up
with you. Thank you for brightening up my day, Rich. I appreciate it.
Did I really brighten your day, Rashawn? Did I really do that?
Every time I talk to you, I have a good time. And Michigan man, the Michigan man.
Look at us. Look at us. So I'll you keep being humble. I won't be. Look at us. Look at us in 2019 right there. Holding up.
I got some facial hair now. I'm growing up.
Listen, look at you. That is a baby that I was talking to on that day. And I've gotten older and you've gotten wiser. That's how it's gotten. Very good, Rashawn. Thanks for the time. You be well.
Thank you. Keep training.
And let me know if you're ever out here in L.A. I'd love to see you in person.
I will. Appreciate you, Rich.
All right, take care. At Rashawn A. Gary on Twitter, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. There he goes. That's the conversation with Jordan Love.
Right.
What's the word today? Let's be great.
Let's be great.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah, works.
You know, he said something earlier in that conversation which tells you a lot about him. He said, I know there are some guys taking breaks. I'm not one of those guys. Like,
I did like that. I saw you nodding your head over that. Yeah. I know. But that conversation with Jordan Love, it sounds a little bit like, you know, looking good, Rashawn Gary.
Feeling good, Jordan Love.
And they would love to trade places, if you will, with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be a fun season.
Look at you.
You know what? I'm just weaving tapestries.
I actually think coming to America is funnier than trading places.
Excuse me, sir. It is not. It is not. It is not. It's a little bit cheesier. It's a little cheesy.
Coming to America is cheesier?
Cheesier.
Whoa.
Cheesier. Trading places is hardcore, man.
Only one movie has Samuel Jackson, TJ.
Trading places is hard. Well, Trading Places. Isn't Sam Jackson in Trading Places as well?
No.
Nah, he's...
Are we sure about that?
Nah. He tries to rob the McDowell's.
I'm aware of that. Hold on a second. Maybe I'm wrong.
Here's
what we're
going
to do. Instead of doing this, I'm going to welcome our guest because he's also got his wife here. They're going to be coming out. Oh, nice. He's going to be... Judge Reinhold is here. I met a whole bunch of people in the green room. Let's bring him out. Let's have an epic celebrity true or false and pop culture conversation with Judge Reinhold.
Come on now.
One of the stars of Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., coming to Netflix in July. This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, we just showed a clip of Beverly Hills Cop Axel F., of Eddie Murphy back as Axel Foley, and John Ashton back as Taggart, and then, of course, Judge Reinhold back as Detective Billy Rosewood. He is here on the Rich Eisen Show. That was just amazing, Judge, to see you guys all back in the car together.
I just
got
to tell you, there's another dimension to watching that for me, because that was the first scene that we shot together. And we were two blocks away from the original location back in 1984, dressed pretty much the same. And when we all got out of the van, the crew got really quiet. Like, we just walked out of their collective past. We'd walked out of their childhood. It was like seeing Winnie the Pooh or something. I don't know. But it was a magical night. And Jerry was there. And we were all just beaming. And oh, yeah, Eddie gets in the back of the car. I hadn't seen him in 10 years. I think it was longer for John. And Eddie looks at us and says, well, at least we still resemble our characters.
Which is good.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
So
yeah.
You hadn't seen him in 10 years?
I hadn't seen him since Spike TV did a tribute to him that I went to.
And then he just strolls in the back of the car, and then you guys start working?
We were rehearsing that scene, yeah.
Wow.
I know. It was great. It was a great way to start, boy. It was a great reunion.
Well, I mean, and it's just great seeing it again, and it's great seeing it again at such a high level, and it's great seeing it again when you didn't think you'd see it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I kind of decided, well, two things. Either it was going to happen. If it was going to happen, I wasn't going to think about it anymore.
Right.
You know? But I also knew that Eddie wasn't going to do it unless it was going to be good, because it was important to him. Axel's important to him, and he wanted to use the first one as a template, which is was a pretty great way to start. I think that if we didn't create the genre, I think we definitely defined it, because you had action movies and then you had comedies, but the fusion. When we were shooting the first one, it felt very daring, because you had these tonal shifts between these scenes of real stakes,
right?
And then this funny stuff. So at the time, it did feel a little dicey. And Marty Brass, the first director, was so brave to do that.
Is it true, we're going to play Celebrity True or False, and I've got some extra ones that I'm just going to get out of the way right here with you. Is it true, you mentioned Marty Brass, the director of the original Beverly Hills Cop, that he blew some of the Bronson Pinchot scenes because he was too busy laughing? He couldn't hold it in with the Surge scenes, that he couldn't stop?
Marty is a great audience, and the best, my favorite directors are a great audience, because, you know, you don't have one. And if the director is really digging it, especially in a comedy, it feels great. Marty was sitting on the camera. It was Bronson's first day. Nobody knew who Bronson was. I'd never seen Eddie lose it like that. So, you know, we did. And so, yeah, Marty was sitting on the camera and they had to tell him to get off because it was, he was shaking it. So
yeah. He you'd never seen him before. And Eddie had never really, I guess, seen him before either, right?
No, Eddie did not know. Marty just said, "Where do you see this guy?"
And then he starts showing up.
Yeah, he just came out with it. And it was just the funniest stuff some of the funniest stuff we'd seen.
And it was his take on just some Beverly Hills.
Yeah, he came in and Marty said, "Where's that from? What accent am I detecting?" And he said, "I don't know. It's just this and that. And Beverly Hills."
It truly is one of the funniest scenes of the film. And then another one being the banana and the tailpipe scene, just to kind of bring this all in a full circle, you being back in the car together.
Right.
What was shooting that scene like originally?
Well, originally it was a potato. But Eddie said, "Potato's not funny. Banana's funny. Potato's not funny. Banana's a funny word." And so they changed it to banana. We questioned the authenticity of whether that would really happen or not. And then they had that TV show that it's all about myths, dispelling the myths and stuff. And
Mythbusters?
Mythbusters, right. They even did it. Somebody, the director, the new director, Mark Malloy, kept after us to want to reprise it. And Eddie was adamant, "Look, we're not going to cannibalize the whole movie. That just stays where it is." And Eddie said, "Plus, most people have electric cars. You can't shut down an electric car with a banana. So come on."
And so, that makes sense, by the way.
But they were pushing that banana on us. And, it wasn't my call, but luckily Eddie didn't want to do that. We just thought we should just leave that alone.
Leave that one well enough alone.
Yeah.
So the original script called for a potato in the tailpipe.
Yeah, potato in the tailpipe. Banana was funnier.
Banana's funnier. It makes more sense that a banana would fit in a tailpipe.
Well, I don't know. A potato might be more effective.
Interesting. Less potassium. I don't know if we were going to go there.
I think potato has more, actually.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God.
What?
That potato has more potassium than a banana. I had no idea. Interesting. So he's like, banana's funnier.
Just knows banana's funnier. Some words are funnier than others.
I love it. Judge Reinhold here again. Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., no banana in the tailpipe, spoiler alert, in this one, will be available again for streaming Wednesday,
yes,
July 3rd.
Yes, we have no bananas.
Nice. But there's money in that stand, that's for damn sure, exclusively on Netflix, right here on Roku. We have a great celebrity true or false for you, if you don't mind.
Bring it on.
As always, we've got outstanding production value to kick it off. Hit it, please.
Celebrity, true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
All right, there it is. That's our production done. That's about it.
I love it.
Okay, thank you.
I got a little trivia about that.
What's
line.
That? Okay.
Well, my friend Kevin Pollak was there that day when Nicholson did that scene.
Yes.
First take, just nailed it without blinking.
Not without even an eye.
When you see it again, he does not blink.
Kevin actually told that story in Celebrity True or False. No, and he talked about how he played some of the roles as well because, Jack had to leave.
Then he did. That's right. Yeah, some of the off camera. Yeah.
It's the greatest. Yeah, I love it.
But I heard that from Kevin. You heard it from Kevin, and the audience has heard it twice.
Yeah, no. And the crazy thing is Kevin's lying about it. No, I'm just kidding. All right. First up, Judge Reinhold, Celebrity True or False. Beverly Hills Cop was originally set to star Sylvester Stallone, and you had a meet with Sly for him to approve you as Billy.
True. Very true. The original script was an action vehicle for Sly, who was by far the biggest star on the Paramount lot with the Rocky movies. And I don't know what else he'd done by that point, but he was bringing in a lot of money for the studio. And I was cast as this young rookie who Axel Foley is from Detroit and comes to LA to avenge the death of his friend, meets a young rookie who guides him through Beverly Hills. But it wasn't a comedy. It was an action vehicle for
straight up
Stallone, and I was thrilled to have the role. It was a big break for me. Marty had seen me in Fast Times, Marty Breast, and mm-hmm. and said, I want to use you one day. And he cast me first. I was cast before Eddie.
So where did you meet with Sly?
This deep recess of the Paramount lot. I got terribly lost and turned around. I was walking around, and then finally this enclave of maybe four bungalows that hadn't changed since the 30s. The air was rarefied. The lawn was they were, I mean, they had bikes in the racks in front of them. You just expected Katharine Hepburn to just fly out, you know. They had, it was, so they were reserved. This was a secret sanctuary of power, you know. And so I knocked on the door and said, yeah, come on in. And he approved me. So
that was it.
That was it. Yeah, we talked a little bit.
Okay,
he was very nice.
And then
cordial.
You get a call one day and say, Sly's out, Eddie's in.
Yeah. Sly took it on him. He's a very good writer. He took it on himself to do another draft of Beverly Hills Cop, and included a pretty, very, very expensive car chase and car crashes down Rodeo Drive. And they didn't know it was Beverly Hills Cop. They didn't want to spend that much money on the movie. So rather than say no, Jeffrey Katzenberg, very brilliant executive, very shrewd, said, hey, Sly, I know you like this Beverly Hills Cop, but this Cobra, man, this Cobra, man, you got to read this script. I said, yeah, okay, I'll do Cobra. And so then I'm left without a movie. And I wish I knew. I wish I could tell you whose idea it was. I feel like it was Marty's, because Marty is edgy enough to think, okay, you know, let's put, especially a black guy in Beverly Hills at that time,
right,
it makes it even more of a fish out of water. And it was, so it was just an edgy idea, you know. I think I've heard that Marty saw 48 Hours and saw that scene where Eddie walks into the redneck bar and says, there's a new sheriff in town, and says, that's Axel. So suddenly I'm in a Eddie Murphy movie. Yeah,
that makes complete sense, and yeah, is mind blowing at the same time.
Yeah.
Judge Reinhold, celebrity, true or false? Let's get to your career. True or false? Your first speaking role was on an episode of Wonder Woman that also featured Rick Springfield and Deborah Winger.
Yeah, this is where I don't like this.
Why?
No.
So is this true? Is that what you're saying?
My first professional line on camera after my father paying for a pretty nice college at, mm-hmm, at North Carolina School of the Arts and all this. My first professional line was, Wonder Woman, I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, and I'm seeing right now.
Oh my God.
You're in a blue tuxedo?
How could you do this? Look at this.
Wow, that looks like Dumb and Dumber right there. To be honest.
We were supposed, I didn't ask any questions, you know, it just was what it was. We were like Ken and Sarah Purcell. She went on to be a news.
Yeah, real people and all that stuff.
Okay.
Sure, yeah.
Well, we were like Ken and
Barbie?
Ken and Karen Carpenter.
Oh, I see.
And it was a music studio, and Rick Springfield was there, and there were some bad guys running the studio, and suddenly Wonder Woman was there. And that's all I really know.
I guess as a
that
follow-up.
That was my first. That was it.
And you were in the Magnum PI pilot?
I was in the pilot. And at one point they said, you're going to Hawaii. You know, and I'm living in this little studio with a hot plate. I'm going to Hawaii. And then they said, no, we're going to shoot this in the back lot. Selleck was Selleck was one of the sweetest. He was so relaxed for his pilot. I couldn't believe how relaxed that guy was. I'll never forget this. I got to tell you this line.
Please.
We're in the makeup trailer, and he says, hey, Judge, you know, very personable. And he sits down and he looks in the mirror and he goes, just another California sun-kissed hunk. No, wait a minute. I just blew it. Wait.
Go for it.
Just another golden sun-kissed hunk of California beefcake.
Right in the mirror.
Just another golden sun-kissed hunk of California beefcake. That's right.
As you're sitting next to him in the trailer?
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, what do you think, Judge? Like, he's making the, you know, he,
wow.
He's just making fun of his looks. He was the coolest guy. He is the coolest guy.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Well, no, I got to tell you. Okay, sure, so yeah, I have one of the worst screen credits of all time out of that because the setup was just one scene. I played this sailor who is guarding these files that Magnum has to get to, and so he's got to get past me. So he gets me a bucket of chicken for the sailor to eat, and while the sailor's eating, he goes in there, and so my screen credit was chicken eating semen. My mother sent me a Polaroid picture that she had taken of the TV screen. Look! I wish I still had it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so proud.
Then I, you know, I did the rounds and they said, you know, we brought you in because we just thought you were so good as chicken eating semen.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
your stories get better.
It's a break.
I got three more for you here. Okay. Judge Reinhold, celebrity, true or false? True or false, Stripes was shot in a dry county in Kentucky, so you would hang in John Candy's hotel room where he kept a bathtub full of beer.
Yeah, correct. Very correct. The one thing you don't know is that somebody had to explain to Candy, who was like the king of Molson, right? What a dry county was, because he's from Canada. Yeah. And so when I first told him, no, a dry county is a place in the United States where you can't, a county you can't buy alcohol. And he's like, yeah, right. I said, no, it's true. And he goes, what do you mean? The weather, dry, what are you talking about? I said, you can't buy alcohol in this county. And he goes, beer's not alcohol.
What sort of parsing is that? That's what's parsing? Like, he's like, that's not alcohol.
Yeah, huh? Beer's not alcohol. Hey, beer. Don't look at me. Yeah. So we were about, I don't know, a little less than an hour out of Louisville. We were in the middle of nowhere at Fort Knox, Kentucky. And next day he just had the Teamsters in on it. And so he got an adjoining room. And that was kind of the party room. And he just kept a bathtub full of ice and beer for us. And that was where we hung out.
And you rehearsed the razzle-dazzle rifle scene?
Yeah, we had the razzle-dazzle rifle scene. They were all wooden rifles, but there was a lot of spinning involved. And there were big cracks and holes in Candy's ceiling because we kept losing the rifles and smashing the... That was so wild and wonderful. That was comedy college for me, you know?
Had to have been. I mean, look, there's Bill Murray and Harold Ramis up on the screen there, and Francis.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you touch my stuff, I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was originally Cheech and Chong Goes to the Army.
What? That's what that was?
Yeah. And then for some reason, the deal didn't make with Columbia. They were out. They brought Ivan in, who had produced Animal House.
Yeah.
And just directed Bill in Meatballs. And Bill said, I'll do the movie, but I want Harold to be my sidekick because they were friends, but Bill being no slouch, the movie was Cheech and Chong. And so they had to, as they went, Harold and Bill made it a Bill vehicle. And so we would block the scenes, decide where everybody was going to be going, and the camera would, well, they would set up the lighting, and then Harold and Bill would go into Harold's trailer and come out with the most outrageous stuff that we'd never heard before. Even Candy would put his head down like this to keep from laughing. And I put my hands in my pockets and would squeeze my thighs so hard.
To keep from laughing?
Yeah, because... we'd never heard it before. It's all those great speeches and Stripes, you know, just the most outrageous stuff. Like Lee Harvey, I want to party with you guys. Remember that? This was what they did in the trailer. They came out and nailed it. And then sometimes he'd go off like some kind of comic beat poet. He would just go off on these tangents, and Ivan would shut it down eventually. And we were just crying. We were crying.
Talk about Sergeant Hulka being the big toe of the...
Yes, you're the big... That's exactly right. That's stuff that they came up with in Harold's trailer, and we'd never heard it.
So. Fantastic. Okay, let's get to Fast Times here. True or false, Sean Penn stayed completely in character as Jeff Spicoli throughout the entire shooting of Fast Times, and you didn't see the real Sean Penn until the last day.
That's correct. Wow. I figured... Well, it wasn't a directive, but we were just told the guy would prefer to just be referred to as Spicoli, and that was fine. Nobody knew anybody else. The first time I saw Sean was when he poured out of that van in the parking lot with all the smoke. And I figured, okay, this guy is either the guy, Spicoli, or a comic who has this one shtick. And I kind of decided, okay, that's what it is. He's an actor who has this one character. And the Mighty March scene at the end, that was our last scene. I think it was Sean's last night too. He dropped it and was suddenly this very articulate Spicoli, turns into this extremely educated, articulate guy, and talking to Amy about all sorts of movies. And I thought, this guy is brilliant, because he was so different. You know, different.
Just talking like some erudite professorial type of guy.
Yeah, just like that, with insights about about filmmaking and. Dang. Yeah.
Wow.
We knew he was from Malibu too, so that kind of fed the belief that he was just the surfer guy.
Is it true that the scene where I'll never forget it as a red-blooded American male with Phoebe Cates is actually like something that you don't like talking about because of that scene?
No, the reason because you know, when I talk about it with print, they always lead with it, you know. If it's a print interview, they always lead with Judge Reinhold, professional masturbator, or you know. So that's why I'm hesitant to talk about it. Recently, People Magazine came out with Judge Reinhold, masturbation was humiliating for him, like somebody had made me do it, you know. And so I decided, but no, I'm safe with you, you know. I'm okay.
All right.
Obviously, it was simulated. It was just a series of indignities that Brad had to go through. So when I read the script, I thought that scene was hysterical. But when it came time to shoot it, the reality of it was chilling.
Is it true was it a prosthetic?
No, that's false. No, yeah, that's false.
Okay. All right, we finally found a false one. Last one for you. True or false, Seinfeld fans still approach you about the close talker episode and get nose to nose with you to close talk with you in real life.
Yeah.
That's got to be weird.
It's disconcerting. And then you realize what's...
Just seeing it on the screen here, man.
Well, okay, there's a good story behind that is... Okay. During rehearsals, I would make sure that I'd get a little closer to each cast member the gag is that I'm talking to his parents, and then as I'm talking to people, I get a little closer. When I get to Jerry, I'm the closest, and then the crew was laughing in a way that seemed like something was going on, and so we broke for lunch or whatever, and I said, "Why are you guys laughing so hard when I get to Jerry?" And they said, "Because he's such a germaphobe. He's terrified of what you're doing." So of course, by the time it got to camera, I was almost touching his nose. I mean, our nostril hairs were almost touching. So I know he was so uncomfortable. If you see it again, you'll see he's just, you know, crawling in his skin.
He was sitting here a month ago in that very chair, and he kept on saying over and over again, you know, he goes, "You don't understand, Larry and I," meaning David, "we do not act." He's basically saying that he's being himself pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
So that's another example of it from this very scene you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a, I have to tell you this story because Okay. So it was a double episode, which was fun. Mm. But this whole thing about Jerry getting caught making out in Schindler's List.
Yes.
Spielberg, they found out, Larry and Jerry found out that Spielberg was watching Seinfeld episodes while he was shooting Schindler's List to unwind from the Holocaust, you know, so he'd go home and watch Seinfeld just to, you know, take a break from the
awfulness.
Yeah, the awfulness. And so when they heard that, they said they got to do something like a send-up of Schindler's List. So
that's the inspiration of having Jerry getting caught making out with his girlfriend in Schindler's List.
Yeah, yeah. And then my character, Aaron, just goes full crazy and is so concerned about Jerry's parents, and I could have done so much more for them. And, you know? So that was all for Steven Spielberg.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this celebrity true or false in this chat, Judge Reinhold, went better than anybody could have hoped. And you're awesome.
Oh, thank you.
You spent, you know,
you are too, man.
Decades, you know, entertaining me and so many other people and so many memorable things.
And thank you.
Beverly Hills Cop Axel F is the latest version of that, streaming on Wednesday, July 3rd, exclusively on Netflix. Be one of the, no doubt, millions upon millions worldwide to check this out. And that's right.
We've never been a summer movie, so it's exciting to.
Brother?
Yeah.
It's a great first time for everything right here.
Yeah.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Kevin Bacon in it as well. Yeah. Everyone should check it out. Thanks for coming, sir.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
That is Judge Reinhold, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back with more in a moment. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Can you tell me the story, the famous story of you noticing John Candy in the crowd before that 2-minute drill to the Bengals?
Harris Barton was a people person, so yes. We were free for dinner during the week, but you know, practice and meetings, and then come back after dinner and more meetings. So when he would come back from dinner, he was like a little kid. He could not wait to tell you about all the celebrities he saw while he was at dinner. And so we were just standing there, and between the tight end and his shoulder was framed John Candy.
And in the crowd?
He was on the sideline.
Oh, he's on the sideline.
And so I sat there and I looked and I go, dang, I don't remember Harris saying he saw John Candy.
This is what you're thinking in the Super Bowl with minutes to go and needing to drive down the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so I walked over and said, hey, man, there's John Candy. And Harris stood like this for 8 minutes, perfectly still. He was a little bit anal that way. He would not move. He was like little. I didn't do it to unwind him. I just thought he would appreciate seeing John Candy.
Did you ever meet Candy, or that was the only time?
Yeah, no, I had met John a few years before that. My contract was up.
Okay.
And he was, you know, one of the owners of the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay.
He was trying to get me to go to Canada.
Come on.
Yeah. They just didn't have enough money.
But if the price was right,
I might have been wearing an Argonaut.
Yeah, you'd have a 55-yard line. You'd be like, I'll do that. So he legitimately said, you know, hey. You know.
Yeah, we had a couple meetings about it. Yeah.
You did. So this is real. Like, it wasn't oh, by the way.
No.
Wow, I love that. Beer's not alcohol. That's the latest John Candy story that we've elicited in our 10 years of this program. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Minute and a half to go. We went long with Judge Reinhold because it was so great.
So great.
Jimmy in San Antonio, you got the last word. What's up, Jimmy?
Oh, great. I get to follow Judge.
That was great.
Amazing.
That was so much fun, wasn't it?
Well, it wasn't as fun as your top 10 on the 80s funny movies,
what
comedy movies.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Well, first of all, I thought your top 10 was solid. Oh,
thank you.
It was solid.
He knows. He knows what he's saying to me. He knows what he's saying.
Well done, Jimmy.
Well, and then I have to give you credit for putting Midnight Run at 10.
Thank you, sir.
That's the equivalent of you admitting about the golf hole in one, because that shows that you have respect. You have respect for the audience, and you cannot lie to them. It is not in the top five. Your top five was on point. Midnight Run is number 10.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Jimmy.
Well, Jimmy, what you didn't see is after the interview was over, Rich and Judge were just going on about how much they loved Midnight Run and how great
well,
it is.
Well, the director
so I think you would redo the list now.
No, because the director of Midnight Run was the original director of the first two Beverly Hills Cop movies, Martin Brest. True, so true. That's why I brought it up. Jimmy, I got a jet because the show.
Also the most quotable 80s. You picked the best.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, Jimmy. That's Jimmy in San Antonio here. Sorry,
see you, brother.
We got to run because it's the end of the show. A quick final segment because I couldn't stop Judge Reinhold if I. You know, because he just said so many great stories.
That was awesome.
That was as great as it gets.
Epic interview.
Fantastic. That'll wrap it up for this Wednesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're back on Thursday with more.
Hey guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.